Welcome to another edition of Main View, brought to you as a public service from Blueberry Broadcasting. I'm your host, Mike Estrada. Fall is in full swing, and that means it's apple season in Maine. That means picking them, cooking with them, and of course, eating them. What kind of growing season has it been this year, and what's the outlook for the future? And joining us today to talk about that is Shane Patrick. He is from the Maine Pomological Society. He's on the executive committee there, and also the owner of Pleasant Pond Orchard in Richmond, Maine. Shane, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks. How are you, Mike?
Very well. Kind of a funny day today. We got fog and temperatures in the 60s, but it's supposed to be very nice here today. So how long have you been running the Pleasant Pond Orchard in Richmond?
We bought the orchard 3 years ago.
What did you do before that? Is this your first venture in doing this?
Well, I was raised on a farm, and then I took a couple-decade break and went to Alaska. And most recently there, I was flying helicopters. So I went from flying helicopters to driving tractors.
And that's quite a change from doing those things to being an apple farmer. Why did you make that decision?
Well, Alaska's a great place, but it's a long ways away from friends and family. And so when we decided it was time to move back closer to family, we chose to move closer to my sweetie pies than mine. I'm originally from Wisconsin, and her family's here in Maine.
The Maine Pomological Society, first, the name of it is very cool. It has definitely a 19th century sound to it. But what is the deal with the Maine Pomological Society? Do you guys get together every year? I know you're on the executive committee, as you just told us. But how does it work for the Maine Pomological Society?
Well, this is actually the 150th year of the Maine Pomological Society. And, you know, it started as the way a lot of farmer groups do. Farmers, they work every day kind of by themselves, and it was a way to gather, share information, make friends, re-meet old acquaintances and see what's working, what could go better, and all of that sort of thing. And so it's evolved into the executive committee meets, I want to say, 9 times a year.
Wow.
Meet most months, but I think it's June, September, and October we don't, because there's lots of other stuff that we need to be doing in the field. And then there's a winter meeting and a summer meeting for general meeting for members.
How big is Pleasant Pond Orchard? How many trees do you have there?
We have about 700 trees on 10 acres. So that sounds big to folks who have a couple trees in their yard, but as commercial operations go, it's rather small. We're kind of in between. We don't have enough to do wholesale stuff, so we're direct to consumer. You know, we go to a couple farmers markets, and then we have a farm store with a commercial kitchen here at the orchard.
Across the state of Maine, according to statistics, 84 farms growing apples on 2,000 acres. That's quite a bit there. Tell us, has it been a good growing season? We had the extreme cold in February, late season frost in May, and of course everybody's talking about the rain we've had most of this summer. How has the growing season been?
Well, you did a good job of summing it up.
Yeah.
In February, we knew we weren't going to have any peaches to eat. And the 17th of May, it was a well-forecasted event, so everyone knew there was potential for bad things. We went to bed with a good crop and woke up with virtually no crop.
No.
And it affected, that event affected 5 states to varying degrees, and it was very localized, quite interesting. Like, I know 2 orchards in Cumberland, just a couple miles apart. One of them is about like us. They have similar size, similar variety of apples, you know, 50 or 60 varieties, and they lost almost everything. And the other folks right down the road have essentially a regular crop. So it's a little bit of a head scratcher there how that happened. But there you have it.
Did you lose all of your apples, or were some able to be saved?
We lost virtually everything. The Cooperative Extension, which is also interacts with the Pomological Society, they did a great job of helping people like they sent out information on how to assess your damage, and without getting too deep into it, basically it's look at five clusters on five trees in a block and then move on, and you can tell if the blossoms are still viable or if they died or if the pollen tube has been damaged. And then, of course, some of the stuff, because we had that, it's not just that freeze in May, we had that really warm first week of April,
yes,
and then it got cold again, so we had a really prolonged bloom. And so a lot of the things, pears and apples, and they were all doing their stuff at the same time. So some of our fruitlets were already kind of marble size, and a lot of those looked like they were going to be okay. And then as, you know, weeks went by, they just kept dropping off. And now we have out of all of our trees, you know, we probably have a total of 30 bushels of apples. Mm. Out of 700 trees, which 30 bushels, again, sounds like a lot, but it's not. And of those, you know, the Honeycrisps look perfect, but when you cut them open, they're soft and brown inside, mm. So they're neither honey nor crisp. And a lot of the other ones have superficial damage that actually looks really, really bad, and then the inside of the apple is just fine. Mm. So the folks who have fruit, they have the challenge of trying to educate their customers, you know, if they're direct to consumer, like, this actually is a good apple, because it certainly doesn't look like one. So, yeah, it's a bit of a challenge.
Joining us on Main View is Shane Patrick of Pleasant Pond Orchard in Richmond, Maine. He's also on the executive committee of the Maine Pomological Society. Excuse my ignorance, but when the tree has something like that happen in May, you can't start them growing all over again. The tree is pretty much done for the year at that time.
Yeah, they're only going to set one set of blossoms. Okay. And yeah. So however that works out, that's that. The one silver lining is when the trees expend a tremendous amount of energy into growing fruit. And so when they don't grow fruit, it's actually not hard on the tree. Like, we would expect a bigger crop next year because of that saved energy. Mm-hmm. They're growing a lot more wood than they normally do, and so we're probably going to have more pruning to do in February, but that's okay. They made their decision to, you know, fight again next year by dropping that damaged fruit. You know, they're in the business of making seeds. We don't think about it that way. We think about the food, but they're still trying to spread their genetics, and as soon as they learn that they couldn't, they get on with surviving next winter, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. It is a business for a lot of people who grow apples, and I'm sure it's a business for you also. But do you have to do other things besides grow and sell apples to make the farm work?
Well, we have a commercial kitchen here, and we found early that people really like our fruit and other things when you wrap them in flour and butter and bake them.
Sure.
So we do that.
And you say you sell directly to consumers, so people can come pick your apples, and you have some that are already picked, and you bring some to stores as well.
Well, a lot of orchards do U-pick. We do U-pick just for our blueberries. We don't do it for the fruit, in part because of my lack of management skills. I can't figure out how to direct people to the orchard that we have to make it a good experience for them, because this orchard is, the trees are planted very randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we have 60 varieties, and the first ones are ripe the end of July and the last ones aren't ripe until November, and trying to educate the people on that, pick these, don't pick those, even though they look red and delicious, they are not ready yet, is just a bit of a challenge for us. So we've chosen to pick the apples for our customers.
So you don't have any, like, commercial pickers come in from, like, Jamaica or whatever to pick your apples. Does a lot of farms still use, commercial pickers like that?
Yeah, there are still a lot of farms using those seasonal visas. It would be very challenging without those programs.
Sure.
For the bigger orchards to make it, you know, the the labor market continues. I mean, talk about the 150 years of the Pomological Society. You look at the old notes, and I'm talking 100 years ago, and labor is, it's been a constant struggle. So it's not new. It's changed a little bit, but it's still the same.
How about the industry itself? I know that, you know, trees are different than they were when you grew them maybe 50 years ago. They're smaller, and again, I don't really know what I'm talking about here. But as far as the industry is concerned, is it healthy in Maine, or is it struggling in Maine right now?
Well, I would say opinions vary on whether it's healthy or struggling.
Yeah.
The thing is, when an orchard closes, it's quite rare for them to start up again. So I think it's important for Mainers to try to keep the orchards that are here still going, by visiting the farm stands and farmer markets and buying local when you can. The industry, there's more and more fruit coming from out of state, out of country. If you look back 100 years ago, Maine shipped a ton of apples to England, and we ship virtually none outside of the country anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just things are constantly evolving, and we do our best to roll with the new punches.
Yeah, talking to some of the syrup farmers, Maine sugar farmers, they are trying to sell their stuff to like the Far East and having some success doing that. But it doesn't sound like we're selling apples to the Eastern countries.
They can, there aren't big swaths of maple trees in the East,
yeah.
But they can grow apples there, and they have cheap labor. And so when you think labor and transportation, it's just not a battle we can win.
Mm-hmm. Joining us on Maine View is Shane Patrick of Pleasant Pond Orchard in Richmond, Maine, also on the executive committee of the Maine Pomological Society. Well, I have a couple of practical questions to ask you. I asked some people what they wanted to know about apples. Here's one. What's the best way to store apples after they've been picked?
Most of them want to be between 32 and 38 degrees,
mm-hmm.
at high humidity. The temperature is easy to obtain in your refrigerator, but the humidity is the trick. So if you had like a moist towel or something to put in the crisper drawer to keep that humidity up, that mm-hmm. would help. And also, which varieties you buy.
Yes, it's the next question. Yeah.
We have a variety called Arkansas Black that it looks red and beautiful in August. You don't pick it till November. It tastes about like a baseball then. but by March, it's fabulous. And, that's the kind of, you won't see those at grocery stores because, storage apples are kind of an older thing, pre-refrigeration.
Right.
But in the root cellar.
What makes the best apple pie? What kind of apples makes the best pie?
Well, that's a great way to start an argument. I think that for us, what we like to do is we like to use a variety because you have some of them like a Macintosh. They turn to sauce very easily. So in my opinion, you'd only want one of those in your pie. And then some of the ones that stay crisp, and then sweet ones and tart ones and high acid, the blend of tastes and textures is what I prefer. But you ask the next person, and they're definitely going to say something different.
Yeah, I got a list here of some of the apples that are grown in Maine, and the list is incredible. Some of them they've never heard of. Snow apples, winter banana, Duchess of Oldenburg, Jonah Gold, all these things I'd never heard of before. I do have one other kind of practical question. When you go to pick your own apple place, what's the best way to pick them? You snap them off, twist them off? What do?
You take the apple by its base and lift it above, like to horizontal, and then gently twist.
Mm-hmm.
And the stem should release from the tree. you can always yank them off, but you never, that's an indication of ripeness if the tree is wants to let go of the apple. So if you lift to the horizontal and the tree doesn't give it to you, it doesn't taste quite the way the tree wants it to just yet, and you should pick a different one.
Do you like growing apples? You must.
I do. I mean, it's, you know, it's an interesting challenge.
Sure.
And I've been doing it very little time. There are people who have been doing it their whole lives, and they don't know at all. Every season's different, and every day is different. And there are stresses. You know, there's economic stresses and the environmental stresses. Anyone working outside this year in Maine has had a hard time of it, whether they're growing apples or tomatoes or painting houses, you know.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. I can tell you it's different stress than flying helicopters. You know, I had my tractor quit one time in the dark when I first started, and I looked in the gas tank and I'm like, well, there's still fuel in there. I'm going to go inside and drink a beer and try to fix this thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And when I was flying helicopters, if I had an engine failure in the dark, I don't know how it would have ended, but it would not have been that relaxing.
But why did you quit that lifestyle? Was it getting a little bit too exciting for you up there?
Yeah, it's the best job in the world when things are going right.
Yeah.
But when you have the weather and time stresses, and not to get too morbid about it, but I was just getting sick of seeing friends and pilots who were better than me not make it home.
Yeah.
And figured it was time for a change.
Joining us in Maine View is Shane Patrick of Pleasant Pond Orchard in Richmond, Maine, also on the executive committee of the Maine Pomological Society, which has been around since 1873. Well, what do you see as the future for apple growing in Maine, either at your farm or in general in Maine? Anything on the back burner?
I think that the future is going to, we are going to continue to evolve to more of a direct consumer and experience type marketplace. The bigger farms in the West and even in out of country that don't have the particular weather challenges that we have here, we're not going to be able to compete with them on those bigger scales. So where we're going to have to compete is some of those experiences, and then also those other apples that you were mentioning, like the Duchess of Oldenburg.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic apple. End of August, and it doesn't keep very well, so you're not going to find it other places. You're going to find it near farms, and we have a lot of varieties like that, and so do all the other people who I know who are growing. And man, if you taste a peach that was picked the day that you're going to eat it, you will try to buy peaches from your local Maine growers because they're so much better. And it's not just fruit. Everything is like that. You know, if it's the fresher is better. And I think that's the market we're going to have to continue to expand into.
Well, it's been a very challenging year, it sounds to me, and challenging for my tomatoes this year, too. It didn't do very well. Cherry tomatoes did well, but not the regular tomatoes. It was too wet. It just didn't really like it. Good luck for the future in all of those endeavors. We've been talking to Shane Patrick of Pleasant Pond Orchard, Route 201 in Richmond, Maine, also on the Executive Committee of the Maine Pomological Society. Shane, it's been nice talking to you. Good luck with the things at your farm, and good luck for future endeavors.
Thank you very much. Pleasure talking to you as well, Mike. Enjoy the rest of your day.
I will. And you've been listening to Maine View, brought to you as a public service from Blueberry Broadcasting.